And I know this was first spoken to the Jews who were fixing to go into exile due to the sinfulness of their nation. God had brought a terrible calamity of judgment upon them. He stripped them of their nation. He took their sacrificial system away. He brought devastation and destruction to their land because they had grievously sinned against the Lord. Sin always brings a response from God. It always has and it always will. God is not indifferent to sin. He doesn't play around with sin. He slaughtered His Son on the cross because of sin. It's serious. Now, we're so grateful there is good news. There's hope. There's cleansing. There's an invitation. And we appeal to you, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Brother Danny has just preached to you, come. We join in with harmony and we say, come. Ye who are in your sins, no good awaits you if you procrastinate and prolong in this condition. Flee the wrath to come. God is fixing to break loose. God Almighty is angry with this world because of his iniquity and its sin. And yet there is from his heart, a heartfelt invitation. Why will you perish when there is so much opportunity? We're going to read from Jeremiah 29. This is again spoken concerning Jews that were to be carried away captivity. And the Lord is going to tell them what to do. And even though, again, we're not going to press it literally, but it has application to a situation which I'm going to address tonight. And the subject tonight that I'm speaking on, brethren, is this. It's time to pray. It's time to pray. Listen to what the Lord says to His people. Thus saith the Lord. This is verse 4, chapter 29, Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. It wasn't that Babylon was able, through their military skills, to conquer Jerusalem. It was the fact that God gave them up. And He caused this event to happen. God is the great cause of historic events. God is the God who rules in history. There's not one particle of dust that's outside the sphere of His control. He's the Lord. And He does according to His will in the armies of heaven and upon earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? He's the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all who are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon, build yourself houses. You're going to be there for a spell. You're going to need a place to live. You need a house? Build you a house. And dwell in them. That's what you normally do in a house, is dwell in it. He's telling the Jews, settle down. Build your house. Where at? Where is he telling them? This is Babylon. Strange land. Foreign land. Notice, build yourself houses and dwell in them and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Plant your garden. You're going to need groceries. Plant your garden. You'll never get any produce unless you plant your garden. You do not reap unless you first sow. You need to sow. You need to plant. It's planting time, by the way, isn't it? It's about garden time down here. Any of you planting a garden? Hoping to eat of the fruit of it? Take to yourselves wives and beget sons and daughters. And take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands. Go about your life. Raise your family. Seek the best interests for your children, that they may bear sons and daughters and that you may be increased there and not diminished. And notice in verse 7, particularly, and seek the peace of the city which I have carried you to be carried away captives. Seek the peace of this place. This enemy land. This land that has such scoundrel leaders as Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Cyrus later. Seek the peace of the city which I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. Oh, there's no need for you to pray unto the Lord for it. I am sovereign, and you know very well that I have ordained the end from the beginning, and therefore, what will be, without you entering into prayer whatsoever. No, beloved, he tells the people, pray. Pray. Listen to this. Pray unto the Lord for it. This is a great mystery in prayer. How can it be that God knows exactly before we pray what He is going to do, but yet we have not because we ask not? And that if we don't pray, we don't receive from God. Children, do you need to be saved? You've got to start praying. God never saves anyone without praying. You've got to pray. You've got to make contact with God. You've got to talk to the Lord. So it is. Pray unto the Lord for it. Notice in this final stanza, for in its peace shall you have peace. There's an invested blessing. You have a very large interest in this business of your prayers being answered. You need to be praying for Babylon. You need to be praying for its peace. For in me hearing your prayers, and I will hear them, you will have peace. Now, is there any application of that to us? I want you to turn with me now. Let's read a parallel New Testament passage from 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2. First Timothy, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, what's first in your life? of all the things that were needing instruction to a young elder, of all the things that needed to be set in order, of all the things that he needed to hear about church life and church order and the qualification of deacons and elders and all of the important doctrines and all the heresies that would be arising up, Paul says, first things first. This is first. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, is this first in your life? Is prayer first in your life? Is prayer first in the church? Is prayer for our country first? Prayer for our leaders? Listen to this. It's an interesting thing that he gives some descriptive words analyzing prayer, some terms whereby he breaks down the components and elements that are contained in real praying. He uses the term supplications. The word supplication. Supplication is something that we do whereby we present a petition before the Lord. It's not a demand, it's a petition. It's a supplication. We need divine help. We are in need of something that God can do. We are in need of God moving. We are in need of the mercy of the Lord. We are in need of a miracle. We're in need of something divine. We're in need of something that flesh and blood cannot perform. So what do? We make supplication. We plead with the Lord. We present our request. We present our petition. We're asking Him for divine help. We're approaching the throne of grace. We are not demanding of Him. We're pleading for help. We're supplicating for mercy. That's one element of prayer. Notice this also, prayers. That's talking to God. Prayer is communication with God. You talk to your wife, you talk to your children. Prayer is talking to God. Communicating with the Lord. Have you talked to God? You know, He hears prayer. He invites you to pray. It's the greatest privilege you have as a human being alive in the world is to talk to God. And you don't have to be highly educated. You don't have to know a lot of theology. You don't have to be big and important. The smallest and least child here tonight may talk to God. You, God's ear is open to your prayer. Call upon Him. Talk to Him. Pray. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Prayer. Talking to God. Notice the next descriptive term, intercessions. Intercession is the act of getting between someone who is in danger of wrath, in danger of judgment, in danger of death and hell, getting between, and I know that Jesus is the ultimate and true intercessor. But we have the privilege of interceding for the lost. How many of us are alive and saved tonight because someone interceded on our behalf? Aren't you thankful? intercessions, getting between that lost one, that hell-bound one, that disturbed one, that lost one, getting between God and that person and saying, Lord, work with them. Lord, deal with them. Lord, convict them. Lord, draw them. Speak to them. Save them, Lord. Don't let them go to hell. Intercession. Oh, I've heard it discussed whether or not it be even proper for Christians to pray for the lost. Beloved, let our lives... Listen, there's someone you need to be interceding for tonight. Don't you know someone in need? Don't you have someone that draws forth the compassion of your heart? Are not you disturbed about the welfare of some soul that you know, a family member, a child, a son, a daughter, a mother, a father, a wife, a husband? Pray to the Lord for him! Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Here's another great and the final mention of a component of prayer is the giving of thanks. There's not a time you go to God that you shouldn't go with thanksgiving. There's not a day that you wake up and are able to get up out of the bed that you don't have something to be thankful for. Count your blessings. Name them what He can. You name them. Give thanks. You can't give enough money. You can't give enough sacrifice. But you can give the fruit of your lips thanksgiving unto the Lord. How many of us have something to be thankful tonight for? Let the redeemed of the Lord give thanks. Let the redeemed of the Lord shout and praise their God. For He hath done wonderful things for us. Whereof we are glad. Now notice who we're to pray for. We're to pray for some men. We're to pray for the elect. First of all, it is the express will of God that we pray for. Do you know any man that doesn't need prayer? Think of someone who doesn't need prayer. Pray for them. Supplicate for them. Intercede for them. Petition the Lord. Give thanks. Pray for all men. This is a wonderful thing. Did you know that in your prayer life, you can transcend your little world and pray for everybody? You can pray for every Christian alive. You can pray for every member of your church. You can pray for all the members of your community. And also this, notice this, Paul gives this instruction for kings and for all that are in authority. And by the way, it is not documents that rule. It is men who have authority. Kings, leaders, those that are in authority. We're to pray, first of all. We're to pray for those that are in authority. Why? There's an express interest we have in praying for our president, our leaders. Oh, beloved, until you have prayed for your president and you have spent time before God for him, do not open your mouth in sarcastic, belittling criticism. It's a sin against God for us when we have not prayed for those over us in government authority. When we would speak contemptuously and derogatorily and caustically and mercilessly for them. And again, it's not that we have to agree with what our leaders may believe or even what they are doing, but God, whom we believe in, is able to change things. That's why I'm going to exhort you, it's time to pray. I'm telling you tonight, beloved, it's amazing to me how many Christians are getting their perspective on the current political financial times from talk radio and not from the Word of God. And we listen to the talk radio and many of the conservative things they say are true in themselves, but the spirit of it, the worldliness of it, the earthly-mindedness of it, leaves us, if we listen, agitated, upset, angry, frustrated, exasperated, outraged, and full of despair. This is not the will of God for us. We have a higher plane, higher ground. We, who are the Lord's, have access to the God of heaven. We are to pray. What purpose? Listen to this. This is amazing. The end, the very fruit and results of what we are to be praying for is this. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Someone said, let us pray that whatever it takes to bring an awakening to our land, that God will do it. I would say, let us pray earnestly and lay ourselves before God that He will give us a quiet and peaceful environment in which we can be saved. pray? For what purpose? You know what you need to be saved? You don't need a lot of turmoil. You don't need a lot of pressure. You're very weak. You're very delicate. You don't do good under a lot of pressures. Some of you wives, just let me ask you, what about your husband when he gets tired and hungry? You see, it's an amazing thing that you change our circumstances a little bit, how it so alters our behavior. The most important aspect of why we're to pray. Listen, our focus. Our focus is not the economy. Our focus is not necessarily foreign policies. I'm not saying we don't have interest in those things. But listen, our great desire is that our government and our leaders just leave us alone. And let us live for God. Let us have the privilege together like we've gathered tonight and worship the Lord. I need a quiet and peaceful life. I want it. I want a quiet and peaceful life where I can plant my garden and raise my family and go up on the Lord's Day and be glad that they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's time to pray. It's not time to criticize and time to complain and be filled with dismay and all sorts of analyzation by armchair quarterbacks that does no good anyway. But listen, beloved, praying to God does good. All sorts of doors of help are opened when we pray and seek the Lord. Are you praying? Are you praying for this president? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? I'm not saying but we could pray this and have reason to expect it because, you see, the king's heart is in the hands of the Lord. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God... Do you believe God can turn the heart of the president in any direction He wants? Well, He's not going to do it. How do you know He's not going to do it? He's sure not going to if you don't pray. Let us pray that the Lord will turn His heart and open His eyes and show mercy to him. And help him to believe on the Son of God and to repent of his sins and see that he is the basis of men. What do you mean, Brother Don? Look here. I want to show you something. It's an amazing little tidbit of information that's found in the book of Daniel. Listen to this. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. Let me see if I can find it here. I had it marked, but I lost my place. Daniel 4, okay. This was in God's revelation to Nebuchadnezzar, that old scoundrel. God humbled him. This guy was exalted to heaven. This guy didn't think he had to answer to anyone. And the Lord sent him a revelation. The Lord, it's interesting, the Lord, first of all, sent him a word and told him what he was going to do to him. Then he sent Daniel to explain to him what he was going to do to him. And then he did it to him. But what's the interesting thing, and it's amazing to me, we get sometimes Christians, when we get a bad leader, a bad president, when we get somebody like... we go bananas. Oh! Something new under the sun. Never been anything like this before in history. Well, listen to this revelation that God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar what he was going to do. Listen to this. In verse 17, just take up this. This matter is by the decree of the watchers. There's a watcher in heaven watching everyone. And the demand by the word of the holy ones, listen to this, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. I tell you, folks, I don't care. You may have voted differently, but God puts up the leader. You say, why does he do that? In fact, it's amazing. This is a precedent here. Listen to this. Who does he raise up? He gives it to whomsoever he will. And notice, he setteth up over it, that is, the kingdoms of this world, the nations of this world, the basest of men. How would you like every politician that runs for office to come out, and this is the leading thing that God says about me, and I have this foremost on my resume, I am the basest of men. We know they won't admit it, but we all live to see it. Isn't it so? Now this is God's modus operandi. This is God's way of dealing. This is His precedent. Now I know if we had anything to do with it, we only want godly, spiritual men of integrity, honest people. We want God-fearing people. We would like just to reconstruct this whole thing and have Christian government and Christian leaders and Christian laws ruling everybody. We would like that, wouldn't we? But you know, God says He gives the kingdoms of this earth to whom He will, and He sets over it the basis of men. I read in the Scripture, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. Why does God do this? Let me tell you why He does it. It's for actually a good purpose. There's only one realm in this world where a good leader can be found. There's only one realm where righteousness and peace and joy and a fair shake and mercy and goodness is found. In fact, there's only one thing that's Christian. It's the kingdom of God. It's the church. It's the people of the Lord. There is no such thing as a Christian government. There's no such thing as a Christian school. There's only Christians. There's only redeemed people of God. And only in this realm. That's why He sets over. That's why it's an amazing thing. We need to understand that the precedent, He doesn't choose icons of virtue to rule and to be leaders among men. No, His choices are not those who are filled with integrity, honesty, and spirituality, but He chooses the basis of men. Why? To teach us. To long and desire a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, let me tell you, there's not going to be anything right until finally. It's in our hearts, thank God. Oh, the Lord sets up a kingdom in our hearts. He's our Lord, and what a good King He is. I vote for Him tonight. I will have this man rule over me. He is not a hard taskmaster. Gentle Savior, like a shepherd lead us. Much we need Thy tender care. What a Lord! What a King! Let us bow our knee to Him. He rules me. His kingdom is in my heart. His law is in my mind. And I have a love for Him that is stronger than life itself. This is the blessedness of His kingdom. And it's something that everyone who bows to Him and receives Him and believes in Him can know. We need to know that only in the realm of the good King and the kingdom of God is there truly any good. Good master, the rich young ruler said, and Jesus said it, so why do you call me good? There is none good save one. That's so true. Get outside of Christ, in the realm of Christ, there's no good. But in Christ, in Him, there's good. And it's everlasting good. But let me tell you why it's all right for the Lord to set over the kingdoms of this world, even the bases of men. It's okay. Don't worry. He knows what He's doing. Because He, the Lord, is the one who actually rules and reigns over those whom He sets up. They can only do and they can only go so far as His permissive will permits. You mean, Brother Don, you're telling me that God sets up these scallywags and scoundrels and crooks and hoodlums in high places? And you're telling me, Brother Don, it's our duty to pray for them? Yes. Because you want them to leave you alone that you can live a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Let me say this. Let me give you this. There's so many things that I don't want to wear you out, but let me just give you just a hint, just an inkling of why the Lord may do this, setting up bad men. Just think. We heard in the previous message how depraved folks are. If ancient Israel, under their opportunities, could be so depraved as to fit that description in Isaiah 1, what about Americans? How would you like to rule over this mess? I'm telling you why God raises up bad men. He raises up bad men to control bad men. He can raise up a Hitler. He can raise up a dictator, a Stalin. He can use them as scourges of punishment upon a depraved population that have exalted themselves and said unto the Lord, let us cast His bands asunder. yeah. Don't think that God is waiting to reveal wrath from wrath only in hell. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who suppress the truth. And sometimes this wrath takes the good visible expression of bad leaders. Sometimes the Lord uses scoundrels to scourge the prayerlessness and apathy and worldliness out of His people. Have you been praying? How many prayer meetings have you had since the new administration's come in and said, we've got to pray? It's time to pray. Things could get dangerous. Do you believe that things could get dangerous? Listen. We need not to think for one moment that under the right circumstances, our government and leaders, they could throw us in prison. Christians. They could regulate our meetings. They could stifle our witness, criminalize our doctrines, oppress our liberty, mandate impossible requirements, and intimidate potential converts. We need to pray, brethren. We need to pray so we can continue preaching. We need to pray that God... And the wonderful thing is that we believe that the preaching is going to go on to the very end of the age. But let us pray. Let us not sit back with apathy and unconcern and indifference and think that my praying doesn't matter. It does matter. I don't understand. There's a great mystery in prayer. The Lord tells the people here in Israel, go, settle down, go about your business and pray for the peace of this land. And listen, nothing was a more horrid prospect for the godly-minded Jew than being carried off to a land like Babylon. And the Lord says, pray, for in its peace you shall have. Right. The policies, the direction, the state of the state has a direct bearing on our Christian freedom. Pray. It's time to pray. I believe tonight we all have a reason to seek the Lord. I mean, folks, it doesn't take anybody with much sense to see we're in trouble. Things not going well. There are serious things. We need to pray to God. We need to seek the Lord. We need to ask for help. We need to pray so that we can, if it be His good will, to live in an atmosphere conducive to our own salvation. Listen, I got enough, I don't know about you, but I got enough trouble from the world, the flesh, and the devil to keep me busy than to having to fight my government. Let us pray. God will hear. God will help. He always has helped His people. You say, what if there is persecution? What if things turn remarkably worse and we do experience such days as we never could have dreamed? The Lord's grace will be sufficient. I do know this. The Lord will not appoint a trial for us who believe in Him, that He'll not give us grace to walk through and come out more than conquerors. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. you that are not saved, you that are in sin, you may have not a concern in the world about what's happening in government, but let me tell you what, you need to be concerned about the destiny of your soul, because guess what? You might die tonight. You could. You could be in eternity before midnight. God could call you away. Your life could be suddenly snatched out without warning. There is an opportunity and an invitation set before you tonight to come to Christ. You've heard it. Would you not avail yourself of this marvelous privilege to give your life to the Lord? Don't hold on to your life. Your life is not worth nothing apart from Christ. You are a sinner headed for eternal separation from God. And God tonight, and later on in this very passage in Timothy, it says, God will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I tell you tonight, sinner, there is not one thing in the heart of God that prevents Him from receiving you if you will come to Him. Flee to Him while there is an opportunity. While you can, if you hear His voice tonight, if you are under any measure or conviction of your sin, flee to the Lord. Come while the door is open. And thou shalt be saved. Father, we thank You for Your precious Word. We thank You, dear Lord, for giving us instructions of how we're to live. We thank You, dear Lord, that You've laid upon us mandates for first things first. And Lord, a lot of times we get other things put before prayer. Prayer meetings have such a little space in our church. Prayer time has such a little time in our lives. And oh, dear Lord, how we ought to be bending over and bowing and taking control of the situation. Instead of being filled with despair, how we ought to be just lifting above the present circumstances and coming boldly to the throne of grace and asking for Your divine help and pleading for You and making our supplication to You on behalf of the needs of our country, dear Lord. Oh, minister to us, O Lord. Help us, Lord. Give us the graces that we need. Give us the restraints that we need. Give us the deliverances that we need. Give us the help from heaven, dear God. Lord, You can do something. Thy hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Your ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Oh God, let us avail ourselves in deep prayer, in fervent and effectual praying for some time to come, O Lord, till we see You move from heaven on behalf of the needs of our weary and needy and sick and dying land, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For more media content from I'll Be Honest, visit us online at IllBeHonest.com.